Song, because that goes right along with what I had in mind. And Linda must have been reading my notes. You want? Okay. All right. Well, I'm like Bruce. I may have 10 minutes, and I have maybe I have more. We'll see. Oh, the majority of my message is the reading of Scripture. I have a number of scriptures to read, I believe. And I hope that it's beneficial to everyone. And the first verse that I have is a memory verse for especially for the young ones and for all of us, really. Psalms 95 and... Well, I got to find it. Three. Easy to remember. Easy to memorize. Jodell, do you remember that verse? We've studied. Did we memorize that verse one time?
I don't either.
I'm not sure. But it's an easy one to remember. It's very important. 95 and 3. For the Lord is a great God. And a great king above all gods. And Bruce, I believe in this Bible too, and we can't put anything above it. So if we can't put anything above it and more important than God's word, how can we conflict with this in any fashion, this verse? For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. And the subject matter there that we're going to be looking at is the word king. The Lord Jesus Christ was king. But what I want to do is to start off where we see who the king is and was declared in the Old Testament. Some say, well, Jesus was not taught in the Old Testament. Here in the book of Psalms, and David emphasized this particular point in a number of different places through the writings there, and some of the other psalmists did also. But we want to know more about who that king was and what was his characteristics. Now, I use that word characteristics because I don't know what else to use right now. But look over at 93 and 1. It says, the Lord reigneth. Okay, now Bruce, if someone was reigning, we have to say he was king. If he's not the king, he's not going to be there very long, so we can't say he reigned. I believe God's word here means forever. And we'll look further into that matter in a minute. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. He fits the part for us. The Lord is clothed with strength. Stronger. Oh, we heard that word before. Strength. He's strong. He's more powerful. Than any man or any spirit could ever be before him. He's king. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. The king has done everything to qualify himself. It was just not some imagination or out of somebody's mind. They just didn't think it up. He's over every single matter. He's king. The world also established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, David speaking. I believe this was a psalm of David. Thy throne. He sits on a throne. And those that come around his throne know that he reigns and that he's king over all. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. From before the foundation of the world to the present time, forevermore. He's from everlasting to everlasting. That's his position. He reigns that for that period of time. We read who he was in verse 4 over there. Verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. No one can reign higher than he can reign. No one. It's amazing how many men think that they're so good and so righteous that they can establish their own self and their own law and be greater than God's law. But they're foolish. They're unwise. They will not ever succumb to the ways of the Almighty God and King. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Now, Joel, I know you've been on the beach. And I've been on the beach many times at surf sides where I went. You know, as I'd go over that bridge down there, and I could look out there and I could see they called it a gulf, but it was the ocean. As far as I could see, Joel. A gulf, you say gulf? Oh, that's just a little plot of water out there. When I got on top of that bridge and I looked down there, and as far as I could see, there was an ocean. But you know what? If you rolled your window down and listened carefully, you could hear the waves roaring. You could hear the swishing of the ocean up and down that beach. I'm not talking about the cars driving back and forth, Joel. I'm talking about the ocean. You could hear a roar coming back from that water. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Their Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Joel, there's no way that the noise of that ocean could over sound out, cover up the words of God, the noise of God, the noise of who He is. He's mightier. When He speaks through this word, His sound, Joey, is mightier than the waves of the ocean. A few days back, I was in the midst of some trees, and the wind started blowing, and I heard that wind blowing through these trees, and it sounded strong to me. But the words of God is much stronger than the sound coming through the trees. Now, I hate to think about this, but in the wintertime, I can go out in my front yard at night and I can hear the highway, which is over a mile away, the roar of cars going back and forth. God's voice is louder than the roar of all that traffic going up and down the highway. When the Lord speaks, when He speaks to you, you will hear His voice. Verse 5, He says, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord." Forever. The Lord reigns forever. When He speaks, His word is forever. It does not change. It will not be set aside. Now, I'm not quite sure about this particular point, but over in the book of Numbers, and I'll show you where I got this thought from. Numbers 24, verse 18. I'll read this whole passage here so you see what maybe I'm thinking. And maybe I can tell you part of it. Balak, the king of Moab, he didn't like Israel at all. He hated Israel. He would have liked to destroy them. But he knew of the Lord. He knew of God. I don't believe he belonged to the Lord, but he knew of God. So he said, Balaam, who was the seer, I call our false prophet. He said, "Go over. You go out there, and you pray, and you find God, and you talk to Him about this." Balaam, what I want you to do is convince God. I'm putting part of this in my own words, okay? You convince God that to put a curse against the Israelites. And God told Balaam, He said, "You go back and you tell him what I said." I see what he said. What did God say? After Balaam strove to convince, and Balaam must have not known who the Lord God was. I would say that he didn't. But God told Balaam, you go back and you tell Balak this. Verse 18, and he took up his... Let me start with verse 16. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth. When God puts a word in your mouth, Bruce, you cannot change it. Can I fully explain that? No, I don't think I can, but I know that it's so. If he puts a word in your mouth, it will not be different. When we read this Bible here, we know that it's the truth, and we can say, whether we understand it or not, Bruce, I heard you say earlier you didn't understand all of it. I don't either. But it's the truth, and it will not be changed. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say these things. And verse 17, and when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? What did the Lord say about this curse against Israel? He said, I want you to get the Lord to bring a curse against Israel. That's what he wanted. And he took up, verse 18, and he took up his parable and he said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. Verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. Now, best I understand, Bruce, this is God's words towards Balak. But listen very carefully what he told Balaam to tell Balak. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Had Balaam interjected a few words of his own? I'm not sure, but these are the words of God. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. He's not holding Jacob or the nation of Israel responsible, or no charge of sin against them. Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, with the nation of Jacob. And the shout of a king is among them. When the king spoke out in the midst of the nation Moab, or wherever he is, he meant it to take place. He meant it for the truth. It was an unchangeable thing. Verse 22, God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. He didn't have it. He wasn't charging Israel with anything. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up a great lion, lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Leave them alone. He knew that a curse wasn't going to come about. So he said, well, leave them alone. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do. Whatever God's word comes forth out of this Bible, Bruce, is the truth, and it will come to pass. Whether we clearly understand what transpired in that particular verse or not, it does not matter. Even if we had the idea that we're going to go out there and live like we want to, if it's against God's word, it's not going to come to pass. Did I say that right? If it's not against God's word, if it's against God's word, it will not come to pass. When God speaks, it will come to pass. And that's what we need to remember when we're studying God's word. Okay. All right. Let me move on if I can. We mentioned earlier that he reigns. Down in verse 23. I'm sorry. He sits on a throne. We mentioned that throne in that chapter 93. If he's sitting on a throne, he's king. But this king is forever and ever. In a number of different places, as I've already mentioned, he proclaims to be king. Let's look at a few of them. In 96 and 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord. Hey, new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Look at verse 10. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. That's our message, Joel, when we're talking to somebody. The Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. That's according to his word that we have, all that we have here available to us, Bruce. We're going to be judged by this word. Well, let's go back to 91, and I hope I'm reading my writing correctly here. Linda told me the other day she could hardly read my writing. Shame on her. 91 and 1. We'll go back and forth here some. He that dwelleth on the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I hope that's where we're living. He is king. He reigneth. It says again, the Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. The Lord is a fearful God. He's one that deserves all the respect that we can give him. When we come to church here, we respect him by singing songs. We respect him by listening to the word that's being studied and read. We respect him by listening to what others what godly people, men, have to say about the Lord. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. He is high. He sits on the throne. How about 103:19? If I'm reading this right. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Huh. Can we remember that? He ruleth over all. That's what the king does. Well, now I already read that verse. He is very great. Now we're going to go to chapter 104, and I'm going to read the majority of that. Maybe all of it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh about the wings of the wind. When the sky is clear and the clouds going by and the blue sky and the clouds are white, Joel, have you ever imagined what different things you could see up there? Yeah. Oh, you've done that too, Bruce, huh? Now, I was just a child. But I did that. We'd go out in Mom's yard and lay on her back and look up at the sky and see the clouds going over, and we say, this looks like that and this looks like that. But those clouds are the Lord's chariot. So the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth. This king, that we're talking about this king, remember, that reigns. Who made the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Nobody can destroy it except the Lord. It will conform to what he wants. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. That was during the flood. So thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. This is the king. His mighty power can accomplish these things. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heavens have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food. It's got to where I've been eating a little more spinach lately. I sure do like that spinach. I used to not eat spinach, Bruce. I didn't care anything about it. But Linda's made such a habit of it that I gradually worked myself into it, and now I eat more spinach. Now that pot of cabbage that she cooked the other day, I didn't eat that. We threw it in the garbage. But the Lord makes those herbs to grow in the gardens and the fields and wherever they might come, and he has a wonderful system of getting it into the grocery store where we can buy it and pick out what we want. And Linda, I'm going to start buying the groceries instead of letting Linda buy the groceries, though. I like steak and potatoes. With lots of butter on the potatoes. Verse 15, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth the man's heart. Linda, there's what the bread is good for. It strengthens my heart. These are just illustrations, by the way. Verse 16, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest as for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are refuge. There's a bush out in the front yard of this house that I've been working on. And I forget, it has some kind of blooms. All it had blooms on a short period of time. But it had, the leaves and the branches are very thick and heavy. And there's a mockingbird, Joel, that comes out of the midst of that tree down there, pops up on the top branch up there, and they never stop singing. They never stop mocking or alarming. I said, I bet you there's a nest inside that bush, and it probably is. I didn't look. But that mockingbird, he fly off into another tree, and he just keeps on singing. That's not a song. They're not singing. That don't sound like singing to me. Where the birds make their nest, as for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. Those are rabbits. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Huh. This king that we're reading about, he knows the going down of that sun. Whether it's dark, when it goes down, it's dark. When it comes up, verse 21, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun riseth. They gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor unto the evening. Verse 24, O Lord, how manifest are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. Do you see that, those words right there? In wisdom hast thou made them all. The wisdom of God has created all these situations. And every time we look at something out there, Joel, when we go down the beach again, we see that water roaring and coming and sweeping back and forth. We know that the Lord King created it all. He made it all happen. Let's go to verse 26. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therewith. Verse 30. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. That's not somebody else's works. That's His works. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. Do you get that? In all the creation, in all the beauty of the earth, the Lord has done it. He did the work. And He rejoices in it. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. I saw a show on PBS TV yesterday. It was about volcanoes. And these guys walking in up toward some of these mountains and volcanoes, and even before they got there, some of them were smoking. God makes them to smoke. He also makes them to explode. And sometimes when they explode, they destroy great land masses around it. Volcanoes are very powerful, but they're not as powerful as the Word of God. Verse 33, he says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. The psalmist reading here, and that's the way we feel. I will sing unto the Lord. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. That's the power of God. There are some that do not belong to Him. I was talking to a man the other day in the front yard. See, where did I give this illustration? I might have already used it. But I basically told him, if you don't belong to the Lord, He will destroy you. Not because of hatred, because He is God, because He is the King, and He reigns over all. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Well, is He King? If He's over all that, yes, He is. One of our favorite verses that we have heard in the past, let's see, is Isaiah 9:6, I believe it is. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. As we study God's word, this clearly indicates to me that He's prophesying, that this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. That's what I just read. The government's up on His shoulder. Even if it's a United States government, Joel. Even if it's a state of Texas, if some proclaim, you know, whatever they want to say, God is the government, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And because of all the other scripture we have read, He's the King. Now I'll close with one scripture. Turn over to the book of Matthew. Now we could spend all afternoon reading some of these scriptures, but we just can't do it. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1. is this mighty king? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And that's what we've been here hopefully doing this morning, and we do every Sunday morning. We come here to worship the Lord. We come here to worship the King. We come here to worship the God of all glory. Do not become stale and bored while walking through the world out here seeing all of God's creation. But give him glory. And everything that trends, I've had this saying lately, everything that we hear of happening is God speaking. He speaks to us, Bruce, through all of his creation, through all the events, through all the accidents. God speaks. He speaks to somebody. If he's not speaking to you, he's still speaking. Our mighty King.